Okay, so this is my final video on the subject of purgatory, and it's really a cleanup video to present more scripture support, maybe a quote or two from the early church fathers, and some final thoughts. Now, I want to stress a few things, mainly that the word purgatory doesn't really appear until the 6th century, and that's really just the name the Catholic Church gave to the belief that was always there. We can tell this from the earlier church fathers, such as St. Augustine wrote in 419 and 421 AD, temporal punishments are suffered by some in this life only, but some after death, by some both here and after, but all of them before the last and strictest punishment or judgment, but not all who suffer temporal punishments after death will come to eternal punishments, which are to follow after that judgment. And he said also that there should be some fire even after this life is not incredible, and it can be inquired into and either be discovered or left hidden, whether some of the faithful may be saved, some more slowly and some more quickly, in the greater and lesser degree in which they loved the good things that perished through a certain purgatorial fire. St. Basil the Great says, and if they, the Christians who have died, are found to have any wound from their wrestling, any stains or effect of sin, they are detained. If, however, they are found unwounded and without stain, they are as unconquered, brought by Christ into their rest. He says this in 370 AD. And his brother, St. Gregory of Nyssa, says he, that's the departed soul, is not able to partake of divinity until he has been purged of the filthy contagion in his soul by purifying fire. So the belief actually goes back to pre-Christian Judaism. They didn't call it purgatory, they called it Sheol. But the practice of praying for the dead goes back to ancient Judaism. In fact, today the Jews pray for the dead. So books like the Maccabees and Tobit and others should be considered historically, if nothing else. Even if someone doesn't consider them scripture, it's historical proof that this belief predates Christianity. And the doctrine of purgatory from the Catholic Church is very basic. It just says that people who die who are not yet perfect but saved will go to heaven but must be purified first. We call this purification purgatory. It doesn't say anything about it being a place or how much time it takes. Pretty much you are free to form your own opinion on those things. And here's another reason to pray for the dead. Everyone agrees that it's good to pray for someone's conversion while they're alive. Well, you can pray for someone's conversion after death as well, because God is outside of time. He can hear your prayers 50 years or 100 years after someone has died and apply it to them while they're alive, or even in that moment of death. So it literally is never too late to pray for someone's conversion. Okay, so here's some of those Bible verses that I wanted to get to that I couldn't get to in the other videos. And for the most part, these are scripture passages that are really kind of confusing if you don't have purgatory, but with purgatory they make perfect sense. So Isaiah 6, verse 5 and 6. And I said, this is Isaiah, woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of the people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then flew one of the seraphim to me, having in his hand a burning in coal, which he had taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, behold, this has touched your lips, your guilt is taken away, and your sins forgiven. Hebrews 12, verse 28, therefore let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be taken, and thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. Revelation 20, verse 13, this is the final judgment. And the dead were judged by what was written in the books, by what they had done. And the sea gave up the dead in it. Death and Hades gave up the dead in them. And all were judged by what they had done. Then death and Hades thrown into the lake of fire. This is the second death, the lake of fire. Okay, so Hades, it says, gave up its dead and then was thrown in the lake of fire. The lake of fire is hell as we know it. So Hades had to be something that was not hell and not heaven, that after the last judgment, there's no use for anymore, which that is the Catholic doctrine of purgatory, that after the final judgment, there will be no more purgatory. And Hades is the Greek version of purgatory. Matthew 18 through 35, I'm not going to read the whole thing, just kind of explain it to you. It starts off, it says, "Therefore the kingdom of heaven may be comparable to a king who wished to settle accounts with his servants." And so he calls one guy up. He says, "You owe me too much, you can't pay it." And he's going to sell him off into slavery. And he begs him, "No, please don't." So he forgives his debt. Later, that same servant goes to another servant who owed him money and says, "You have to pay me right now." Well, word goes back to the king. And then the king gets really mad because the king himself had forgiven a huge debt with this guy, but he wouldn't forgive a small debt from someone else. And then it says, starting in verse 34, "And in anger, his Lord delivered him to the jailers till he should pay all of his debt. So also my heavenly Father will do to every one of you if you do not forgive your brother from the heart." And I'm also going to quote 1 Peter 4:8. "Above all, hold unfailing love for one another, since love covers a multitude of sins." Now, I don't know why this is not used more as a proof text for purgatory, because it's pretty clear. You know, the companion one is Matthew 5:25, I believe that is, where he says, "Settle matters quickly, lest you, on your way to court, your enemy sends you to the judge to the jailer, and tell you you will not get out till you pay the last penny." But a lot of people will say, "Well, yeah, but he's not talking about the afterlife. He's talking about this life." Well, if you read that in context, he's clearly talking about the afterlife. But you can't do that with this one, because it's clear. He says the kingdom of heaven is like this, and my heavenly Father will do this to you, put you in jail until you've paid all of your debt. By the way, I misspoke at the beginning. That's Matthew chapter 18, verse 23 through 35. The next one is Luke chapter 12, 41 through 47. Jesus had just told them a parable, and Peter asked, "Lord, are you telling this parable to us or to everyone?" The Lord answered, "Who then is the faithful and wise manager whom the master puts in charge of his servants to give them their food allowance at the proper time? It will be good for that servant whom the master finds doing so when he returns. Truly I tell you, he will put him in charge of all of his possessions. But suppose the servant says to himself, 'My master is taking a long time in coming,' and he then begins to beat the other servants, both men and women, and to eat and drink and get drunk. The master of that servant will come on a day when he does not expect him, and in the hour he is not aware, and he will cut him into pieces and assign him a place with the unbelievers. The servant who knows the master's will and does not get ready or does not do what the master wants will be beaten with many blows. But the one who does not know and does things deserving punishment will be beaten with few blows." Well, first of all, it's interesting that Peter asks the question and Jesus immediately answers him with talking about the servant that the master puts in charge. So that's for another video. But here Jesus distinguishes between four different kinds of servants. So there's the one servant who does what he's supposed to. He will be rewarded. That's heaven. Then the one who beats his fellow servants will be cut into pieces and assigned a place with the unbelievers, which is hell. But then you have these other two. The one who doesn't do what he knows he should do will receive a severe beating, and the one who doesn't know what he's supposed to do, he will receive a light beating. The last two servants aren't given a reward, and they are not cut off. They are beaten. So you see, we don't get to sin without punishment. As 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ so that each of us may receive what is due to us for the things we have done while in the body, whether good or bad." But in this parable, Jesus is clearly talking about what's going to happen to these four different kinds of servants after they've died. One will go to heaven, one will go to hell, two will receive beatings. If there is no purgatory, and when you die, you just go either to heaven or hell, it doesn't matter what you do, how do you explain these other two servants? How do you explain being thrown into prison until you've paid all of your debt? How do you explain the angel coming and taking a coal and touching the lips of Isaiah saying, "Okay, you can come into heaven now"? What you have to do for those who wish to deny purgatory with these verses and other verses like them is, you know, kind of squint your eyes, cock your head, look the other way, jump through hoops, and bend over backwards to say, "Well, he didn't really mean what he said." Well, no, yeah, he did mean what he said. Jesus said this. And in my opinion, there's far more scriptural proof for purgatory than some of these Christian groups who their entire existence is based on this particular doctrine. And in a lot of cases, it's not even anywhere found anywhere in Scripture. For instance, where in Scripture does it say that the way that you get saved is you make Jesus your personal Lord and Savior, and you ask Jesus into your heart, and you say the sinner's prayer? Doesn't say any of that in the Bible. Doesn't say Jesus is your friend. Jesus is my friend. Doesn't say any altar call or anything like that. Yet we have whole denominations of Christianity that is their whole point to exist, is this doctrine that this is how you get saved. Yet it doesn't say that at all in the Bible. Yet they'll deny purgatory in the face of all of this scriptural evidence that supports it. Anyway, I believe that I have exhausted the doctrine of purgatory. So, until my next video, God bless.